We're just three guys with lots of experience with RPGs, lots of opinions, and lots of cusses. Take our advice and content at your own risk. On today's episode of the Free Action Podcast, we discuss designing RPGs characters first, rather than focusing necessarily on plot points and events to design your adventures and campaigns, rather prioritizing NPCs and how characters behave around each other.
Okay, there are pictures of dogs in the description, but it's really important that you don't look at them now, because there's going to be a whole bit where we're just looking at them ourselves, and I'd recommend looking at them then so you're less bored. I'm Patrick Cotter.
Every day, we stray further from God's light. Connor O'Brien.
It's not magic, it's pupper bending. And I'm Joey Rosica.
Where's my hair with sex? No sex. Alright, that was all on air. Welcome to the Free Action Podcast. Just kidding, it wasn't. This is the intro. No one will ever know what was on air beforehand that made Patrick look kind of worried.
Stick around.
Don't worry, it wasn't anything, like...
illegal.
Like, bad or sexist or anything. It was just...
why is sexist the
first...
some
internet posts.
Is sexist the worst thing I can be?
No, I'm just saying that when people are like, oh, I'm kind of worried that that was on air, it was like, so they're saying, like, women are bad. Am I right? Up top. Or, obviously not in those exact words, but like...
I can tell you the boys club, that is the three of us talking while not recording, is actually probably, like, more aggressively progressive than we are on air.
Yeah. I'm more of a tanky off air than I am on air.
Always gotta make sure to cushion the things you say, you know. That's life, isn't it?
Like, for instance, I wouldn't say all cops are bastards on air.
Partially because it's not true. We need them. We need them, Connor. I understand there are problems with the system, but we need them. They're important.
That's why I said I wouldn't say it on air. Anyway, did you not listen to the words I said? Okay, squad, now that we've alienated a lot of our all listeners.
Right, fam.
Alright, bays. Alright, RPG bays. Remember to tweet about the Free Action Podcast under the hashtag... all right,
diffs and diffs.
RPG bays on Twitter.
Hashtag Free Action Holiday.
Hashtag 10% off your first free purchase of Yankee candles.
Yep. Hashtag all I want for Christmas is to play RPGs with people.
I mean, RT. I do like if people do start using the hashtag free action, people are gonna be like, who the fuck is action?
I don't think anyone's gonna say that.
I will.
They're not dumb.
I'll say it. I'll take that fucking L.
What do you mean, who's action? Like, free person's name?
Yeah,
no one does
yeah, that's the thing.
Free Willy.
Free my man action.
I thought you meant, like, for sale, free,
oh,
this person.
No.
They might go,
this isn't
like...
fucking Libya, my dude.
I guess there's some chance that we get confused as, like... a fucked up womanizer podcast, because you get free action.
Oh, gross. No, I just referred to talking to people. That's what that one is.
I know. Gross. Well, I think all of us get the reference, hopefully.
Free action.
Listen.
That's pretty good.
I am not my senator.
Our acronym is FAP, though, so, like, I don't know.
Hey, that's actually
not my senator. I don't know if that helps or hurts, you know?
Boys, if you're really worried about getting free action, you can't insist money from yourself. The advice
is true.
Also in the name.
Trust me, I've tried.
Alright. Listen, it's no shame in jerking it real good, okay? Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Yeah, so today's episode, we're just telling you some sweet life hacks, you know,
yourself.
Masturbation.
It's good. Hey, masturbation.
Did you know?
This crazy life hack I discovered the other day.
You can actually do it yourself.
You know sex? You can do it to yourself. It's great.
All right, well, that transitions actually really well into today's topic.
Joey, take us out of hell world. What's our topic today?
Well, yeah, I was going to say it transitions really well. Our topic today we want to talk about is kind of a design approach, which is to design characters first. And now you may be wondering, Joey, how does that transition to that topic? To which I reply, it doesn't. So, why did you dab while you cough?
I'm cutting the cough. So don't talk about the cough. I always cut out the coughs while I edit. Am I editing this?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm editing.
You are now.
Don't worry about it.
Guess whose cough is staying in?
Oh, shit.
Got him.
I moved away from the mic, so it's probably going to be pretty quiet. But,
yeah.
Characters first. Joey, what does that mean? Tell me about it.
Well,
hit me up with that shit.
I'm going to hit Connor up with that and sedate Patrick. All right, got it. So it's something I've been
elucidate, like put.
Oh,
light
I thought
on.
You said sedate me.
Sedate me, Daddy.
Sedate.
So designing characters first, it's kind of an approach that I've been transitioning more and more to, as a designer for adventures or campaign. I find it often helpful to, instead of centering, basing everything around like events. Or, major plot points that are just kind of, like, static and not character-driven, to instead just focus everything around characters and really prioritize designing interesting characters with, oftentimes conflicting, goals and personalities and everything. And sort of having the story unfold from that, instead of kind of designing from one side to the other of, all right, this is going to be this earth-shattering event, and demons are going to be flying everywhere, and there's going to be wars and stuff. It's going to be great. And then kind
it's
of fitting
in. It's going to
be
very popular.
It's going to be very popular. Instead of focusing on that and then adding characters in that fit those events, instead starting with designing characters and then kind of thinking to yourself, now what interesting would come out of that? What interesting would come out of this really powerful character very strongly wanting to do this thing? And how would that sort of, how would they sort of use each other? How would they sort of, what would be the effects of that? Sort of like, here's the cause, these characters, what are the effects? And that can be something that's just fun to think of, even if you don't use everything. But yeah, it might kind of be the same end result. It's hard to tell, of course, but I think it makes for definitely, obviously, more character-driven campaigns or adventures.
You'd expect.
And I think especially for, if there's a lot of interaction with characters, then obviously you want the NPCs to be interesting. So I think it's a good approach for that. Let's see what else. I think it might be a good way to avoid, like, some kind of stale-ish tropes, because I think it's easier to think of interesting characters than it is to think just from nothing than it is to think of interesting events from nothing. Like, all right, I'm going to make a campaign. It's going to be about this war, or I'm going to make a campaign. It's going to be about these people fighting, or this, you know, political event or something. I don't know. Of course, you can make interesting things out of event-driven approaches. Of course, people have done that. That's what people usually do, I think. But at least for me, if I'm ever in a spot where I like writer's block or like I'm trying to like think of what would happen for tomorrow's session or something, I can always kind of go back to the strong characters that I've spent a lot of time planning out and going like, what would they do?
Mm-hmm. So that definitely seems to come off with the, I sometimes feel like I'm a broken record on a lot of the like theses I have about stuff. But something I keep circling back to in basically every piece of, you know, fiction is ultimately it has to be about human drama because that's what people care about. It has to be people interacting with people. I think the reason that you have that, like, when you have a really good, say, fight scene in a movie, what makes it great is understanding the reason, like, the mooks mooks, but like the reason that the guy is so dedicated to this, like, and mm-hmm. like really feeling the brutality and getting in the head of the main character of just like what would drive you to this point, right? I think of like John Wick or something where it's not complex human drama, right? They
kill his dog.
They kill his dog, right? But you understand, that important thread is every single time you see a fight scene, it's not just people slamming into each other. It's a person.
You feel like the passion, the rage.
Yeah. The very emotional connection to the shitty thing that happened to John Wick, and you know.
Maybe a bit of an overreaction.
But you get it, right? Like ultimately, that human drama is what kind of ties it together and makes it work.
I don't know. Have you ever owned a dog?
I mean, they're pretty good,
right?
But yeah, I think that like in a lot of cases, and of course it varies on players and GMs, but I think a lot of cases like that, you know, character interaction can be the most important thing about a role-playing session and like can be the most memorable thing like weeks after.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like when you think back to like you know, when I think back to like Connor's Ouroboros campaign.
Yeah.
Like, do I remember the events which transpired? Yeah. But the first thing I think of would be like, you know, Leonard Zahn or some of the other interesting characters. Like, the characters are what you remember, and the characters are kind of what you, you know, what I think it, what benefits most from being prioritized during the planning.
Well, it's because generally we remember the things that we have the most sensory input for, and by and large for tabletop RPGs, it's hard to have a lot of sensory input for a combat session. Like, obviously, like, you can describe the combat session, but the way you interface with combat is, in real life, I guess, is seeing it and feeling it and hearing it. And those are three things that you cannot do around a table. Mm-hmm. However, interacting with NPCs by and large is more memorable because what do you do when you interact with someone? You talk with them, you like sit down and see their face and say words to them, and that is something you can absolutely do very well around a table. It's structured to be the most memorable thing by the way humans operate.
I also think that it's that really character-driven moments are my favorite way of making comedy in RPGs because like There's ways of making jokes in RPGs that I think can hurt a lot of people's experience and can hurt people's ability to really enjoy the game. They're not that many, and depending on the game you're playing, it's not a horrible thing. But there are also jokes that I think actively help bring you into the world and all these kinds of things. And I think a lot of those characters are centered on basically the joke being a character being themselves, right? When you're It's absolutely
the, oh my god, that's perfect exactly. moment.
That is exactly yeah. the moment. Is some of my it's some of my favorite moments in any RPG is oh, when
that's so you
exactly is when a character stumbles into the room and says something that is profoundly what they would say, right? It's my favorite moment in any kind of improvisational thing, but having a super character driven approach gives you 1,000 opportunities for that. Of like, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. You know, Tamond has a very specific set of like you expect what he's gonna say, right? And he has a very specific way of communicating, and he has a very specific way mm-hmm. of defying expectations. That when he does that, and when he says something that fits with it.
It's Tamond.
Oh, Tamond.
Yeah.
That's our Tamond.
When you know, so it's all about. In many ways, it's actually there's kind of the idea that comedy is a betrayal of expectation, and it mm-hmm. and it still is in a way, right? But oftentimes, comedy paradoxically can also be exactly as much about making promises and fulfilling them. And you know, a character just profoundly being themselves is not just a satisfying moment, it can also be a hilarious moment. So
yeah. Makes sense.
So having it's important to have a good handle on those characters and mm-hmm. so that those moments can be true. I know that we've been talking a lot about like planning it and like for your plans, but this can also apply to things that are less planning driven and more improv driven. Because like if you know a character, you will never need to guess at what they would do in a certain scenario. You would never need to mm-hmm. think like, oh shit, I didn't plan for this. If mm-hmm. you just have a very mm-hmm. good handle on the character, all you need to do is play them.
Yep.
And like yeah. react to what the players are doing, as a character would. In the long run, this can save you a lot of time, by thinking about your characters more than you think about or the actual plot structure of your campaign. Shit your players could do can totally screw with that campaign, but shit that your players do, by and large, can't really change who these characters are. Mm-hmm. Unless it's a very good, big, like, character-defining moment that your players had this character, like, help them through. Like, yeah. if the players are responsible for a character epiphany, like, mm-hmm. that's an edge case, and I think you'll know what to do in those circumstances. But, like, by and large, your players can't derail an NPC's personality. They can't derail a character's personality.
Actually, I'm going to use my 8th level spell, Transform Personality. Haha. He's not like that anymore. What are you going to do about that, GM?
Fuck.
That would suck. That would be a horrible spell.
That would just be a really
like,
bad spell.
Like, there are spells that, like, turn people evil, right?
I don't know, like probably.
That. Something weird like that.
There was some shit in those books, yeah. My dude. There was a spell that allowed a ship to just go underwater. Like, a specific 4th level spell that you would have to take.
4th
like,
level?
Why? Yeah! It was high-ass level. No! And it was like...
4th level in... Oh, I mean, you could get that at level, like, 10, and you can make a ship go underwater? I don't know. That seems like a lot.
I could say that. Maybe
well,
like
no, but you have to use it as a spell slot. Like this is my incredibly specific
yeah,
spec.
No. Well, I mean, if it was like...
making underwater ships.
Yeah, that is true. Okay, so wizards can put whatever they want on their spellbook. They're really this... In 3.5, the really relevant one would have been sorcerers. I don't imagine a sorcerer that would choose, like, so I can cast, like, 4 different spells, and one of them is ships... can be
cast ships.
I can cast ships.
I wish I could cast ships IRL.
I have summoned ships. I can summon ships wherever I want, including
four ethereal
ships to help
CR8
worth of ships. It's a challenge reading
a
ship.
A rowboat, a galley, 2 more rowboats, because I can't think of any other names of ships.
Caravel.
Trireme.
A junk. frigate. Anyway, This doesn't just apply to characters that you make. This isn't just for NPCs. Having a good handle on your PCs and what drives them and kind of their character motivations, yeah. Obviously it's more complex and a little bit more fluid, seeing as they are the main characters. However, if you could kind of get a handle on what they might do in a given circumstance, given their characters, you can, A, plan characters specifically that you know will either clash or get along really well with them. The Apocalypse World thing of forming PC-NPC-PC triangles, where you know that one PC will feel one way about a character and another PC will feel a completely different way about a character, is a really good way to introduce party tension and really get your players thinking about what motivates their characters and really thinking about your NPCs. Which is a pretty good high-level strat, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's pretty high-up strat, probably, for GMing.
Yeah, frame perfect.
Probably get you pretty far. You know.
It can save you 18 seconds on level 3.
But, like, part of what I did for my now currently running kind of Persona-inspired campaign is I just made a cheat sheet of all of the characters, seeing as we kind of decided which characters would be what arcana. And then I did the Agatha Christie thing. Agatha Christie once wrote about how to write a mystery. And one thing that she said was every character should have three motivations associated with them. One is their motivation that they would tell you to their face, that they would tell you to your face. Like their public motivation. And then they have a second motivation that is their secret motivation that they don't tell people about. And then they have a third motivation that not even they know about that is motivated by outside forces. So it's not specifically something that they know that they're doing, but it is something that it is a motive that they are working towards outside of their control.
The Japanese say that people have three faces. One they show the world, one they show only their friends, and one known only to themselves.
Yeah, and the known only to themselves one is like the dancing hot dog man from the Snapchat filter.
Yep.
Or like some other meme image. That's pretty good.
It's a good meme. It's a solid meme.
Didn't know Agatha Christie was Japanese. Who knew?
Dancing hot dog man? Yeah.
That is.
No, Agatha Christie, but yeah, that too.
Those kinds of characters.
Oh, Agatha Christie's not Japanese.
Those kind of characters are my favorite. My favorite are characters which have that second motivation they do kind of tell to the world constantly in doublespeak. That's my favorite kind of character.
Mm-hmm.
Lord Veterinary from Discworld, very good.
Yeah.
Every time somebody left the room, he would say, "Don't let me detain you," heavily implying that he could if he wanted to.
Yes. He is, I think, my second favorite character of that whole series. the running thing of, is he a vampire?
Yeah, exactly.
And Vimes being like, I think it's more scary if he isn't a vampire. Because that just means he's a guy.
Can do all this stuff. That's pretty bad.
My favorite moment is when he solves he does the crossword puzzle every week, and he's in a running competition with the crossword puzzle maker. And, like, he's like, the chapter just opens with him slamming a pencil down onto his desk and his assistant stopping a stopwatch. He's like, 17.4 seconds, sir. He's like, damn, she really got me with this one.
Discworld is series of novels, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and him, like, sending guards past her house to try to, like, intimidate her into fucking up the puzzle.
Yeah, he went undercover at one point, and he was doing, like, he was making a distraction by pretending to be a juggler, and he did all these insane juggling tricks, and then someone afterwards asked him, was like, How did you... I didn't know you were, like, a serious juggler. And he was like, oh, I've never juggled before. I just made the balls go where I want them to.
Oh, shit. In the first watch book, he gets deposed.
Mm.
And the person who deposes him throws him in, like, what is supposedly the most secure cell in, like, the Ankh-Morpork jail.
Mm-hmm.
And Vimes visits him, and he notices that all the locks on the cell are on the inside. So he got thrown in the most secure bunker. Like, it has the reputation of being the most secure cell in the prison, so that in the event of a coup, he is thrown in there and is protected when shit goes down outside. Yeah. Anyway, enough about that. He's a very good character.
Yeah.
Also, besides the motivations, I also, after the players made their characters and kind of started understanding more what their characters were about, I've started kind of tweaking the characters and writing mm-hmm. down what PCs these characters might interface well with and what PCs they might not interface well with, and then really hitting those spots, like really driving those points home.
Yeah.
So
it's good to, you know, be open to changing the design of characters based on what's going on, of course.
Because ultimately, you should probably also, like, once you kind of start designing your characters, you should probably design them around each other, and bear in mind mm-hmm. that the player characters are the main characters in the story. So you should, if one of them's gotta give, your NPCs are the ones to give, not the PCs. I know it hurts to kill your darlings, but it's better this way.
Oh man, I just looked up Lord Veterinary, and in Going Postal, you know the guy who played him?
Wait, no, who?
Charles Dance, who is the I can't remember his name. The Daddy Lannister.
Oh shit!
Tywin.
Tywin, yeah, Tywin Lannister.
Which Daddy is Lannister.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a pretty good...
That's a good cast. Also, Jeremy Irons played him in The Color of Magic, which is pretty good. But anyway.
Daddy Lannister. I like what? That a lot.
I mean...
you can call me Daddy. My name is Tywin Lannister, but you can call me Daddy.
Jeremy Irons is a better face for it, but I think that...
Yeah, but Charles Dance is probably a better presence, right? Like his...
Yeah.
His steely gaze. I could absolutely see Charles Dance's I Won't Detain You.
Am I being detained? So, it's important to... kind of the way that... I don't know if this is the way that the Coen brothers do it, but... The reason why Coen Brothers movies...
the Coen Brothers.
Well, yeah, fair. Probably not even the Coen Brothers. The reason why their movies are so memorable and are so wild and, like, so character-driven is just basically they are a bunch of extreme characters given certain motivations that clash, like, sometimes oppositely, and then just shake it and see where it ends up.
Yeah, sometimes it just ends up with stuff happening, and that's fine.
and just stuff happens, and maybe sometimes people die, and maybe sometimes people get what they want, but there's not really any rhyme or reason to it, which is kind
of... Design your characters like you're designing a fiasco game.
Yeah. and that's not, you know, that's kind of taking it to a natural extreme, right? Your story can have things like story beats and... you know, arcs and...
If you want, fine.
If you really want to, and you know, maybe even have a theme or two. you know, Coen Brothers movies actually do have, especially some of their, like they're more like, things like Burn After Reading is one of those, it might have some themes, but it's mostly just one of those, characters and throw them at each other.
Yeah.
But like,
and the movie
like,
ends and you're like, oh, okay.
Exactly. Things like A Serious Man is actually, which is a very good movie, actually does say some interesting things about some things. It has
some dangerous things.
Yeah, it has themes wondrous like things. You know,
get what we deserve.
You know, God and kind of the nihilistic urge and all that kind of stuff. And then also just like it also has plenty of those moments of just like, oh God, these people.
Classic Coen Brothers.
Yeah. It's a pretty good summary of like the experience. It's a pretty good summary of the experience of watching Coen Brothers movies. Oh God, these people. But yeah, no, I think that'd be interesting to like frame a adventure or campaign like a Coen Brothers movie. I guess that's what Fiasco is, really. Yeah,
that's basically Fiasco.
Now that I think about it,
we keep backwards designing RPGs.
Great idea. We design an RPG, but it's like a Coen Brothers film. Like, what?
And it's so character driven that everybody plays a character. You don't have a GM. And then you just give people,
because then like there wouldn't be like a natural, there wouldn't be like a concrete plot.
Yeah,
you know? It's all natural. Like,
and people,
we've had a lot of fun here today. Hi, I'm Jason Morningstar.
Jason Morningstar shows up on our podcast.
You boys better not be sipping my flavor.
I mean, we've run into Jason Morningstar before.
We have summoned Jason Morningstar by talking about his game.
We have summoned him. Maybe if we do it again.
Wait. Jason Morningstar. Oh, he's joined our Discord call.
Looks just boo-doo.
Boo-doo.
Hey, guys.
Hey, boys. Heard you were trying to steal my IP? Jason Morningstar is chill. I doubt he'd be too mad if we accidentally designed Fiasco again.
He sold it, yeah.
He wouldn't be mad. I think he might be a little pissed if we sold it, but...
but rightfully so.
Rightfully so.
Man, he was chill, too. Damn.
Wait, he's not okay with us violating his copyright? Uptight asshole.
He's not okay with us essentially stealing his money, yeah.
So
yeah, what else is there to say on designing NPC first? I think it's very helpful.
Yeah.
It's something that, you know, if I'm ever in a spot, like we've talked about before, but it's an important point to drive home, I think. If I'm ever in a spot, if I'm ever like, I don't know what to do, Just think about, I guess there's two things. Think about your themes.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what your NPCs would do.
Because, yeah. And that's...
And the key to having a really strong response based off of that is having put a lot of thought into your NPCs, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
One way you could... Patrick, you first.
Yeah, well, I was just... I do think that on top of that, if you're having trouble getting really good NPCs, I know that, or just generating on NPCs, because you know, or you're just like, you're stuck and you need because you can kind of get stuck within that of just like, well, I don't have enough characters, or my characters aren't going to interact in an interesting way. There are plenty of ways of like getting just like a little starter, a little bit of, you know, just a pull of the ripcord, with things like, I know Connor uses things like tarot cards, where each They're card great. Kind of has a meaning, and you can kind of get you can start building off of that, right? I would recommend not getting too married to it, right? If your character evolves that, then just be like, you know, it's the character's more important than the card. And there are all sorts of resources for that. You know, you could literally just have a regular deck of cards and be like, what does the two of clubs mean to me? And how can I make a character that's like the two of clubs? Right.
Yeah. Why not?
Which is now a thing I really want to do.
That's pretty good.
It would all have to be internal, because I'm sure that with very few exceptions, almost all of the cards have different connotations to each person. But honestly, I could, I, I,
having a character that is the Three of Clubs is distinct from a character who is the Jack of Diamonds. The Jack of Diamonds and the Three of Clubs are going to be different people.
Alternatively, you could use a tarot deck with the cups, swords, wands, and staves suits. And those are a lot more evocative because you have something like the Knight of Wands is very distinct from the Knight of Swords and is very distinct from the King of Coins. Like,
that's cool. Yeah, I'm just gonna roll up one day. I'm gonna be like, hey guys, there's new campaign. Come on in. Everyone's gonna sit down around the table, and I'm gonna reach underneath the table and lift up a Monopoly set, and then open it up and dump the like shoes and like ironing board irons and stuff out. It's like, all right,
Bimble, motherfucker,
Bimble. All right, pick your character.
Thimble squad roll up.
Yeah, I get to go with a shoe every time, man.
Another good resource is for finding characters and shit and like kind of thinking about that. If you're really stuck.
Top hat.
Oh, top hat? Good.
Yeah.
Fucking bourgeoisie pig?
Well, I mean, it's literally a game about bankrupting your friends.
Fat pig. Yeah, in Monopoly.
Thimble goes through the board, buying no property. Sayu.
Thimble has the power-up of if you don't buy property 3 times in a row, you can just, like, choose not to roll. Every time you land on property and don't buy it, you get 1 charge of not having to roll.
Yeah. It's called Praxis.
No, that would add too much choice into Monopoly.
Oh shit, you're right. Never mind.
Okay, so my roommate, he wants to get more into board games. And as you might expect from us, us three, we play a fuckload of board games. And hey. I was like, so what experience do you have in board games? And he was like, I don't know, I'm kind of just getting tired of Monopoly. And I'm like, buddy,
let me show you the world.
And I'm like, I can't wait to show him Scythe and have him just die. Also, he wants to play Twilight Imperium, and I think that might actually kill him the first time around. Like,
okay.
And he's like, it's pretty fucking cutthroat. And he's like, I don't know. Like, and he like describes some cutthroat shit that he did in Monopoly. And I'm like, buddy, you've got a big storm coming.
Somebody is going to be shaking your hands and smiling and saying, we're going to work together, and you're going to trade with them, and then they're going to spend that money blowing up your home world.
Yeah, like, you fully are not prepared for the shitstorm that's coming, and I love it.
And he will have the choice. He'll entirely have the choice to not do that, but he will do that anyway.
He will sit there with his finger on the... Honestly, okay. Has anyone actually built a Warzone?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We've had, like, lots of Warzone pits.
Okay.
Someone built a Warzone last game.
Warzones do...
Homicide.
It just died immediately, though.
Warzones...
Well, yeah,
got kamikaze.
Jordan. Fuck.
Warzones can destroy
can
planets, right?
Can we ban that race?
I think we just have to deal with it better. I think we have to,
I think we need to ban it.
I think we have to do a better job of, like, coalitioning against it, honestly.
I think we just need to wipe it off the fucking board.
I think that's one of the things. Nah. With when you have a diplomatic... Sorry, we're going to talk about board games now. When you have a diplomatic system like that, basically, overpowered races are kind of balanced out by the fact that everyone can be like,
because
they're playing that race. Fuck
well,
that.
People aren't, but then people don't do that. Like, people aren't willing to go that far. Like, I was proposing sanctions against Jordan the whole game, but people thought it was just like, oh, Connor Meeman being mean to Jordan. But, like, no, you kind of
I was just doing that because he was the only one preventing me from just getting...
I know
destroyed
that.
By E3.
I know that he was your big ally. Like, I know I didn't expect you to go against him. But when Thomas was like, I don't know, maybe I'll vote with him. Like, I'm like, dog, the fuck are you doing? And then he got blown up, and then he never voted
also,
with him again.
I think he might have been playing... He wasn't playing optimally. Like, got last. He was playing more to blow things up.
which was frustrating. Okay. But...
Are you... Do you play with, like, another... With, like, a further diplomatic system where you vote on... You just decide on sanctions? You can be like, we have trade sanctions against this guy, or and anyone who violates
kind
them.
Of informally.
But it would actually be super cool to have like formal diplomatic announcements of like we are breaking off diplomatic ties with this group, or we are formally putting trade sanctions on this group, so we will never trade with them until they change this action.
Yeah, I think alliances are a bit too fluid in that game to get a good system like that. But that'd still be cool.
I do want a diplomacy style game that actually,
like, actually has alliances that last.
Well, yeah, it actually like simulates kind of modern diplomacy, which is a lot about. It's one of the super.
Well, why don't we just play in a big mega game that is like a model UN?
Yeah. Oh no, that would be awesome. Easy.
Could you imagine how good of a team we would be in Model UN? With our skills united instead of pitted against each other, we could do so much.
I've never thought... Wait, united? Not against each other?
I would love to be the strong arm, double-speak guy always. I would love being part of Russia so that I could just like we're not invading Crimea, those are independent Russian rebels that got those weapons by pulling them out of their ass.
probably
we don't know, we're not in charge of them.
Joey could be the president, and then I could be like the military advisor.
Nice.
If we're talking about Watch the Skies.
Yeah.
Watch the Skies sounds really good.
Watch the Skies sounds so good.
We need one scientific advisor.
It's so expensive. I understand why it's expensive. I understand why it's expensive, but fuck.
How much is it for like a ticket?
It's like extremely bucket list.
Or some shit.
Dang, it is like an 8-hour event or something.
It's like a day, but it's.
And it sells out instantaneously.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's because even when they're charging $50, they don't make that much money. Apparently.
I guess, yeah.
Like, apparently, like, that's just what I've heard. It's so expensive to run mega games. Because there's all sorts of material that you need. And it's a lot of it is just one-time use, right? Like, you can't run that many mega games. There's just not that much. There's not enough demand for it year-round.
If you get paid, there wouldn't really be any, like, plot planning for like Watch the Skies, right? Since it's
deciding whether
the aliens are like nice or not.
Yeah, exactly. You decide exactly what the aliens are, and there are a number of people who have to manage the game, like judges and those kinds. That's true. And I would expect those people are getting paid. I hope those people are getting paid because they're putting in a shit ton of work. You know. I kind of want to build a culture of people who run games being paid, because I find it fun to run games.
That'd be cool.
That'd
be fun, yeah, actually. To clarify, Watch the Skies is essentially a big Model UN, but with aliens. Hey, there's aliens.
Yeah.
Well, how, what
and
do
also
you do?
Like a model, like JSOC and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, God. There's someone here.
Oh, no.
There's someone at the door.
Oh, absolutely. I was
all right.
Handing them an unspecified item.
Thank you very much.
So, I think we've probably wrapped up this topic, unless anyone has anything to say. I think
I've got two more things to say.
Okay.
One, if you are having trouble with coming up with NPCs and coming up with these characters, and you're having trouble like thinking about motivations and stuff, I know a handy dandy podcast that takes. listener questions and takes listener problems and helps solve them. Please, we love thinking about characters. We love thinking about RPGs. Shoot us an email with any relevant information that you want at askfreeaction@gmail.com, and we will on air work through your character troubles.
It'll be great.
We'll advice show your ass.
It'll be like great. Dr. Phil. I'll be Dr. Phil. We'll get Dr. Phil on here.
Dr. Phil,
yeah.
We're having him on here.
The Phil
man
himself.
We have Dr. Osmond or whatever the fuck his name
is. Sure, get him along too.
Can we get Joel Osmond so I can yell at him?
Who's Joel Osmond?
That's not Dr. Osmond. The mega
Olstein?
Church guy. Olstein, sorry.
I think that's Olstein.
Joel Olstein.
Dr. Osmond.
Sorry to any Joel
Osmond. Joel Osmond, if you're listening,
keep up the good work. Joel Osteen, if you're listening, go fuck yourself. Not really go fuck yourself.
I mean, he's a heretic who shall burn in hell, so...
Yeah, right?
I
don't
hey, man, you just alienated, like, half of our fans. Come on.
Half of... No, I don't really hate Joel Osteen.
Which is just Joel Osment, or Joel Osteen.
No, it's just Joel Osment and Joel Osteen.
If your name is Joel Osment, we apologize for defacing your name.
This could be considered libel. This could be considered libel.
No, actually,
it
needs to be a claim of fact as well. I don't think we're claiming. If I say Joel Osteen is a douchebag, it's pure
it's a fact.
Opinion.
That's a fact.
No, it's just
Joel
pure
Osment,
opinion.
You
could
say you objectively
smell. If I said
you just smell fat.
If I said, for example, Joel Osteen is actively making religion Bonding worse. Actually, that's still probably pretty opinion. If I said Joel Osteen doesn't actually believe the things that he says and is a false prophet, that could be defamation.
Not that we're saying that or anything.
But that's
not,
just
not
an
that
example.
I'm saying it. That's just an example.
Not that we're saying that.
Anyway, the other thing
also,
I was going
to
say...
he would have to demonstrate that it's false, which I would really want to see.
Oh my god. Yo.
Can we get him on the podcast?
Like, can we interview him?
He's got to give him a chance to defend himself, right?
Oh god.
God, I would go full on Catholic dogma on his ass. Like, fucking, like, we're going to have... So just I'm gonna roast that
he's Protestant, right?
Heretical Protestant ass.
Yeah, I feel like I'd have to defend him then, right?
Right.
2v2. 2v2 knife fight on the podcast. Anyway, what was that?
Yeah,
2v2
knife fight. Anyway, the other thing I was gonna say, before the fucking before that happened, another good thing that you can do to help practice thinking like this and thinking about characters, and especially thinking about, like, what would, given a set of characters, what would they do in a circumstance, read and write fan fiction. And think about your characters like you're writing fan fiction about them.
Okay,
be
that makes sense.
Fans of your characters that you make. And think about ways that they can interact that are interesting.
Yeah, because, that would be like, oh, I wonder what happened if this person was in this situation. Ugh, like,
yeah, like
that's
a slice of life. Think
from.
About a slice of life fanfic where all your characters are like going to the beach and how they would react to that. Like, what would they do at the beach? Like, etc. Think about some. Yeah.
At best case, you could come. Yeah, best case, you could end up with like a good, you know, session idea. Worst case. Thought about your character more and how they act around things, so that's good.
Joel Osteen gets 7 million viewers weekly, and his sermons broadcast 24 hours a day on satellite.
Okay, we have to. Oh my god. Okay, we have to stop talking about Joel Osteen.
Okay, but also, you know what his religion is? Non-denominational Christianity. So it's literally he doesn't. That's so weird.
What?
So is his rhetoric like salvation rhetoric, or like
I
what's
think
he up
so.
To?
It's described as evangelical and charismatic Christianity.
Oh Jesus!
It emphasizes the work of holy.
Oh, so it's a cult of personality.
The Holy
cool.
Spirit, spiritual gifts, and modern day miracles as an everyday part of a believer's life. It's the part of Christianity where they're like they're not just like God is real and works in mysterious ways, but like God is real and God is right fucking here.
Right behind you.
He's right that? Behind you.
Look under your seats.
Points to a guy in the crowd.
And basically, it's aggressively. It's just like no miracles do happen, and they happen all the time. And despite all evidence to the contrary, God is working right here and doing shit. And you know it's a little bit it just of all of the groups of all the kinds of Christianity that address reasons that I don't believe in God better and worse, charismatic Christianity is an example of one that really doesn't address any of the reasons I'm not Christian.
And also is, like, I don't know, pretty heretical.
All right, well, if we're done bashing people's religious beliefs, hey, do we want to move on to our next section?
You 7 million people that live for Joel Osteen, here? Enjoy yourselves. I'm just some judgy asshole. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, and I would just say, maybe spend your money in places where you know where it's going. Like, you can watch Joel Osteen all you want. Just make sure that when you donate, you know where it's going. I don't think you get that with him. But anyway.
Because it might be going to his giant
I'll stop calling people heretics.
Next section.
Okay. News and news to us! What's up in the world with you guys?
Yo, I had a chewy granola bar today.
Mm.
It was so good. Oh my gosh, it was so chewy. It was also a granola good. Bar. That's
chewy
it.
Chewy granola bars are A-plus granola bars. Better than those crummy Nature Valley bullshits.
I do have some of those, too. I don't like them as much.
They make my mouth very dry.
Anyway. Patrick, what's new in the world, Patrick?
I met a dog last night. And now I'm trying to find
pictures of dogs.
I'm trying to figure out what breed it is.
Okay.
It was a little bit like a longer-haired greyhound. Like, it had that really long face.
Why
like
don't
that.
You use that dog breed app that Microsoft developed?
Well, I don't know. Do app? I need like a picture of the dog?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have a picture of the dog. Oh, I met the dog. I didn't take a picture of the dog. I wish I had taken a picture of the dog.
I should have gotten his
number.
Always
take a picture of dogs you meet. That way you can post them to the group chat.
So just make a newsletter. Email list.
I think the dog was a she because it had a pink bandana on. And obviously,
it's cute.
You know, dogs can... You know, they can use whatever pronouns they feel, but I think if a human was putting a bandana on a dog, I would think if they put a bandana on a pink bandana, it would be a girl dog. Because
God,
if only
I hope
because
that
it would be
dogs
confusing.
Have escaped the concept of gender. Wow. I hope that dogs have escaped the.
They're
whole
just not
shit
woke enough, you know.
Well, not woof enough.
Anything new with you in the world of role-playing games, Patrick?
Really not.
Maybe I
should have
asked.
There's
yeah, you're not
no
really
news.
Running anything, are you?
No, I'm not running anything. I have two things basically that I'm seriously considering. So one, I'm absolutely starting a group next semester. I have people excited about it. It's happening.
Hell yeah!
And on top of that, I'm seriously considering just like joining an online. Campaign of some kind just to play because it's one of those things I realized is I haven't really played in a campaign in a really fucking long time and it would be really interesting to like see how other people run Blades or something like that and there's quite a few games online that I could pretty easily join and there's places like there's the Blades and Dark community which has like a Discord and that I could pretty easily just kind of hop on and be like
oh yeah
a few
cool.
sessions so
Bill.
That's something I'll consider. I'm just because I just want to play more RPGs and I'm a busy motherfucker. But
he's a busy boy.
It's true.
I can work in some RPG playing somewhere. Yeah, that's me. Other news. I'm the
happy for you.
Programming director of my local radio station now, which is a good time. Trying to think. That's about it. Basically, it not a lot of news. I'm gonna do okay in my classes, but fucking the last couple weeks have been hell.
#college
#college
I feel like I'm being dragged behind the back behind a pickup truck. #college life Boof. Let's see.
Are you speaking?
As far as me.
Now?
Poof, bark, brork, heck. I mean, I started my Persona RPG that I've been talking about a while. It's going pretty well. Pretty excited about where this is going to go. The last session was kind of slow, but it was the session where they got their personas, so I was kind of expecting that. We'll see where it goes from here.
This would be nice.
Let's see. Besides that, I am writing a thing that's a Christmas gift for my group, and it's pretty good, and it might be one of the longer pieces of fan fiction that I, or more labor intensive pieces of fan fiction that I've ever constructed. I've actually gotten back into making fan fiction again.
That's cool.
See where that goes.
What about?
I haven't published much yet. Originally I was writing some Persona 5 stuff. But I mean this obviously. Although I don't know if you can really count fan fiction of one of your friends' tabletop games as fan fiction. But I will. It's good. Let's see. Other news and news.
Patrick just casually posting pictures of dogs in the chat.
Shut up.
That's a nice cover. That's a Borzoi. You met a Borzoi.
It's a tangle. It was this breed is actually the Tangalore Silken. I don't. They're kind of wind hound apparently, which is great. Borzoi
what?
Is
wind hound.
The elemental dog of wind.
Well, but like, look at it. I just imagine
it makes sense.
That dog running super quickly because it's partially greyhound, so it can run super super fucking fast. And then wind blowing in its hair. That'd be a pretty puppy.
I want one of the four like Greek elements to be just dogs, like earth, fire, puppers, water.
I'm a pupper bender.
It's not magic.
The concept of
pupper
bending is just viscerally upsetting.
Imagine
like stomping the ground and then a dog suddenly stands like 20 feet and smacks
someone in the face. Shoot the dog at someone. Oh,
the dog's fine. It's just much longer now.
Dogs are just happy to be part of the ride, you know.
They do a pose, and the dog just like, just like in a spiral around them. All right. Actually, it's not viscerally upsetting. It's very good. Let's see. Other news. Started a dream journal.
Nice.
I guess I'm just regressing back to my Tumblr days. Every day I stray further from God's light.
You're gonna start a
good puppet.
What?
It's just beautiful.
He posted another picture of a dog, and it's the wind hound running in the wind with the wind blowing, and it's exactly what I imagined, and I love it. Look at that fucking majestic dog. Oh my god.
What's the name of that dog?
It's a silken wind. Silken windhound, I guess.
Silken windhound. Do yourselves a favor, listeners, and go to Google and search and look up silken windhound. It's very good. You won't regret it.
Oh shit!
Are they a type of borzoi?
Kind of, from what I can tell. Also, I saw the first. I typed in silken windhound, and the first like suggestion was silken windhound puppies. So that's happening now.
Oh. Oh yeah, that is happening. Other things that happened with me. I don't know. I too am dying from school. Those are really good puppies. Oh my god. Okay, this is bad radio, folks.
We're gonna don't worry. We'll put
Stop
these pictures. We'll
dogs.
Link to these pictures in the description.
Now we have to remember. Excellent. Okay, whoever's editing this actually
I'm editing
remember.
It. I will remember. I will listen to this puppy section, and I will not be able to stop thinking about these pictures, and I will absolutely get it.
Otherwise, I'm in pretty... My time has been taken up thinking about and looking at memes about the extremely professionally well-drawn Zootopia pro-life comic that was released by this guy. It's a pro-life fan comic using the characters from Zootopia, and it's extremely well drawn, and it is all I think about ever now. It's if you want to see an example of bad fanfic where people don't understand characters and have characters and like do some crazy self-insert shit while still being very talented artists visually, I guess, like, I read this, just look up Zootopia Pro-Life fan comic.
That reminds
it's
me of like
a trip.
That reminds me of like those like Spider-Man and Elsa videos on YouTube.
Oh yeah.
No, it's exactly has that kind of I've seen these characters but they're doing shit that I do not understand. And also the comic is extremely horny for the rabbit and like
oh no.
Just the gaze that they draw
the gaze.
On Google, you type in Zootopia. This just might be... I haven't Googled it on...
Here, I'll
on,
do it. I'll do it.
Just type in Zootopia and see how far down...
Yeah, no, Zootopia. Zootopia comic. Zootopia pro-life comic. Zootopia abortion yeah! comic. And then Zootopia cast.
It's over the
Yo!
Cast.
Yo! Alright. Yeah, so if you want to have a good time... I mean, obviously, content warning for, yeah. I mean, if this is something that would trigger something for you, I think you would know by hearing our description of it, because it is exactly what it says on the tin.
Is this canon?
Yeah, it's canon.
Okay. Interesting.
Nick is... fuck out of here. Wow. The first site I found here. Okay, anyway. That's all my news.
Cool.
All my news.
News to me. Like I said, I ate that chewy granola bar. It was pretty good. But yeah, just writing and running a campaign. 4 sessions in. Gonna have a 5th one tomorrow. I actually am so proud of this. I had a dream the other night about... my campaign, and when I woke up, I realized that it was a dream about my campaign, and then I, like, had a lot of... it, like, connected everything. It was great. So, my subconscious accomplished what my conscious could not, and I was like, dang. It was nice. So, yeah, if you ever have writer's block, just go to sleep.
Fellas, it's true. Start a dream journal. I did.
Yep.
I feel like Joey and I are rapidly converging on becoming the same person, and
yeah, probably.
When we eventually do fuse into an Akira flesh mound, listeners, you'll be there to hear it.
We'll make sure we're recording it.
It'll be on air. Anyway, is that it?
I think so. I think it's all right. We have to talk about. Oh wait, no, yeah, end bit.
The end bit, yeah. So, a big thank you to the Pharaohs for our theme music, the Pharaohs theme. It's our theme now, etc., etc. If you have questions, if you have adventures you'd like us to workshop, if you have any kind of, like, RPG advice, I'd like, say, as we were talking about earlier, if you are having trouble coming up with NPCs, we'll do that. Shoot us an email at askfreeaction@gmail.com. Tweet your questions at us at freeactioncast on Twitter. You could also hit up our questions thread on our site, freeactionpodcast.com. Remember to rate and review us on iTunes. Give us those 5 big ones, by which I mean stars. Or... dollars. Give us five
quadrillion dollars.
Gmail them to us. We don't take donations. Let's see.
We only take donations in the form of pogs.
Pogs or bitcoins. Both will be equally valuable in a couple years. pop, pop!
Pog, pog. Uh-oh.
Oh yeah.
Pop, pog.
You heard it here last, folks. Bitcoins is a bubble.
Yeah,
we're so
smart. The coldest take in anywhere but economics.
Connor, did you post a picture in the chat that's just a white speck?
Hey, don't worry about it. it's Dorkly because... codes their site bad, well, folks.
Well, he gave us a link to dorkly.com/images/download.jpg.
That is the image address of any image that they have on their site.
I was going to say.
No, it's not, like, nothing. It's, like, an image, but the image is just, like, a couple pixels wide, a couple pixels high of a white speck. Like, what?
Listen, it was the first site where I found the image that I wanted to post of the Zootopia comic. Don't at me. yeah, also, I said a lot of shit this episode. Don't at me.
Yeah, this was a bit of a kind of more off-topic than usual episode. Just kind of, it's a really Chad episode, you know? Just really
chill. But I think we got, like, a lot of good info for people out there, though.
Yeah. If you're someone who actually likes content, though, sorry.
If you're someone like who likes pictures of dogs, content. Get hype.
Yeah.
Check
you,
that.
You,
check
you
that
got a big storm coming.
That's our new section, pictures of dogs. We're gonna replace our main topic section with that one.
Anyway, remember. That's it.
To like, rate, and subscribe.
Click that little bell.
Smash that like button! our theme is the Pharah's theme.
Already did that.
For fuck's sake!
And hey, remember to rate us on iTunes. It helps a lot.
See, what Joey doesn't realize is I'm going to be in an IRL space with him in about, like, 20 to 30 minutes. So, like, don't fuck around, dog. Let's get this done.
And remember...
Oh my god!
Rate 5.
It's a fucking free action! Talking! That's what it is!
It's a little bell.
Every day, we stray further from the goals we define. I'm Connor O'Brien. No. Feel very seen right now.
Are you gonna put on dark eye makeup?
Yeah, maybe.
And we're like, I don't know, what, I don't even really know scene. Like, and then like...
Big, where... big hair.
Is it?
With highlights.
Okay.
Is it
colorful or not colorful clothing? Because it's definitely
one of
the
two. Can be colorful,
two.
I think. I don't... Listen, it's been a while since I've been in a mall.
It's true.
Hot takes.
Okay, so how to be seen. First and foremost, your AIM/MSN screen name should be some rad song title and or lyric. Remember, the more X's you have in it, the more seen you are. Next, go buy yourself some girls' jeans. Face it, the tighter your jeans are, the more seen you will be, and the more hardcore kids will hate you for it. Try on a pair of jeans and find that you're a perfect women's two. Buy a women's zero and suck it in. After you buy your jeans, go straight to Hot Topic and buy every single band shirt they have, even if you've never listened to the band, or worse, never heard of them either. If people ask you about them, just say you like their old stuff and that no one will ever know you actually hate Norma Jean. Never buy anything larger than a youth medium. Don't forget to pick up a white leather belt on your way out. So now you're dressed pretty seen, but how's your hair? Is it dyed black? Maybe with some bleach blonde streaks? Do your bangs cover one of your eyes? Wait, is seen actually anime? If you answered no to any of these, shut up, grab a pair of scissors and chop away. Never go and get your hair done. Always do it yourself. Okay, I want to stop reading because this is very long, but I have to read the next line. Good job. Now your hair is the sex. Okay, now I'm done.
Man, I wish I could do that.